Before I start, let me say something that I often say. I believe that the King James Bible is the preserved, perfect Word of God that God wants us as an English-speaking people to have today. I don't believe that we should add anything to it, nor do I believe we should take anything away from it. And based on that belief, I direct you to one phrase this morning at the end of verse 26. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. That verse says, after Seth's son Enos was born, not before, but after he was born, began men to call upon the name of the Lord. It's the first time this statement appears in the Bible. First time the Bible says that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. This morning, the title of my message, you might have noticed in the bulletin, is in the form of a question, although I didn't put a question mark behind it. What were we before we were what we are? What were we before we were what we are? Now, I'm not talking about the fact that we were lost before we got saved. I'm thankful for God's salvation. If we got what we deserved this morning, every single one of us would be in hell. But because of Jesus, because of what he did on Calvary, because God chose to place all our sins on his only begotten Son, and he died on that cross and was buried and spent 3 days and three nights in the tomb and then was resurrected, I'm looking at a bunch of people this morning that are saved and on their way to heaven. I wish I could say I knew every single person in this room was on their way to heaven. I don't know that. But I'm looking at a bunch of people because of what Jesus did on Calvary that are saved and on their way to heaven. We are a people that have this book as our guide. We are a people that, like we talked about in Sunday school, have a person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, that lives inside of us, that empowers us to defeat sin, that reminds us of the relationship that we have with God the Father, and that helps us pray. And that's a summary of the Sunday school lesson, if you didn't make it to Sunday school this morning, about what the Holy Spirit does for us. So we have the Holy Spirit. And then we have the church that God has given us so that we can come to this place and be provoked and be stirred up to do the things that God wants us to do. I'm thankful that I had a dad and mom that took me to church. I'm thankful from the time that I was born that I went to Sunday school. I went to church Sunday morning. I went to church Sunday night. I went to church on Wednesday night. I went to church every time the door was open. You see, I don't get up on Sunday morning and say, well, it's Sunday. I wonder if I'm going to church this morning. I get up on Sunday morning and I say, it's Sunday, I'm going to Sunday school. I get up on Sunday morning and say, it's Sunday, I'm going to go to church this morning. I'm going to go to church tonight. And on Wednesday night, I don't get up, I'm already up, but I say, I'm going to go to church on Wednesday night. I read a sermon a couple weeks ago from Acts chapter 20. In that chapter, Paul is preaching, and the Bible says he preached till midnight. And there was a young man that was sitting in a window, an open window by the name of, and I won't say this right, Yectatus. And when Paul was preaching that long sermon, that young man fell asleep and he fell out of the window. I've often thought maybe I ought to try preaching to midnight and see how many of you fall asleep. But anyhow, he fell out of the window. Everybody thought that he was dead. Paul went down and looked at him and said, no, he's not dead. He'll be back. And the first point of that, this was the subject of the sermon. And the first point of that sermon was a deep, deep point. Here was the point. The preacher said, he fell out of the window because when he fell asleep, he was more out than he was in. Isn't that a deep thought? Yeah, that's a deep thought. He fell out of the window because when he fell asleep, he was more out than he was in. Now, the point of that sermon, the point of that number one point, is if you're going to fall, make sure you're more in than you are out. Amen. Amen? And what I mean by that, get into church. Don't. And I know I'm preaching to the Sunday morning crowd, but I'm going to say it anyway. Don't just come on Sunday morning. Come to Sunday school. Come back on Sunday night. Come back on Wednesday night. Get involved. Figure out something that you can do and do it. Get more in than you are out, because when I fall, I want to be more in than I am out. If I'm going to fall, I want to fall still within the straight and narrow way that God has given us to walk. And the more in we are, the more likely we are to do that. So, you're a Christian. I'm not talking about this morning, what were you before you were what you are. I'm not talking about being lost. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm part of God's family. I'm glad that I attend a Baptist church. You're in a Baptist church this morning. I don't know that I can say that everybody's here is Baptist, because I know we have people that have come from different places. But you're in a Baptist church this morning. But the question is, what were you before you were what you are? You see, Christians have been around for over 2,000 years now. The church started somewhere between Matthew chapter 16 and Acts chapter 2. And for the last 2,000 years, God's people have been called Christians. We've been called little Christ, named after our Savior. But what were we before we were what we are? Before the church and Christians, God's people were called Jews. In Genesis chapter 12, God called Abraham, and he became the father of God's people. And from that point, in Genesis chapter 12 to Malachi chapter 4, God's people were called Jews or Hebrews. They gathered in synagogues and in the temple, and they worship God. So for 5,000 years or so, and I know some people think the earth is a lot older than that, but for 5,000 years or so, God has had a people. They were called Jews or Hebrews. They are called Christians today. But what were we before we were what we are? You see, a long time before there was a Jew, a long time before there was a Baptist, a long time before there was a Christian, a long time before there was a church, a long time before the Old Testament was written, a long time before there was an apostle, a long time before there was a man named Moses, and a long time before there was a man named David, God had a people. What were we before we are, before we were what we are? This morning you'll be happy to know I only have 2 points. I usually have 3, and sometimes I have more than 3. But this morning, I only have 2 points. I want to answer that question. I want to tell you what we were before we were what we are. And then I want to tell you, my second point, how Satan tries to get in and complicate everything. How Satan tries to get in and tries to get us forget what we were before we were what we are. So those are my 2 points. So, what were we before we were what we are? I think we find the answer in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. The last phrase of that chapter where the Bible says, "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." You see, up until this chapter, men knew God mainly as creator. In Genesis chapter 1, we have the story of creation. In Genesis chapter 2, we have some more detail about that creation, about how God created man and how God created woman for the man. I read part of Genesis chapter 2 in Chad and Ruth's wedding yesterday. In Genesis chapter 3, sin comes into the world. And man disobeyed a God and ate the fruit that God told him not to. And that sin separated man and God. In Genesis chapter 4, we read the story of Cain and Abel. And so the story that's told in at least the second, third, fourth chapter of Genesis is not a very good story from mankind's standpoint. I mean, it's a story of God preparing a perfect place for man to live in. Man breaking the only rule that God gave him to keep, not eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God having to punish that sin and cast them forth from his presence, cast them forth from the Garden of Eden. And then one brother, in his jealous rage, rising up against another brother and killing him. And so you have man going from the Garden of Eden into sin, losing their home, losing their relationship with God, losing one of their sons to the murderous hands of another one of their sons. And it's not a pretty picture. But in the last phrase of chapter 4, we see a different relationship between God and man. We meet a group of people that wants to distinguish themselves from their ungodly neighbors. A group of people that very simply said, if I have a need, if I have a burden, if I have a problem, I can call upon God. And I believe that God will hear me. And I believe that God will help me with that burden. I believe that God will help me with that hurt. I believe that God would help me with that problem. If I call upon Him, I believe that God will do what He said He will do, hear me and answer me and help me. And that group of people that are identified there in that last phrase of chapter 4 of Genesis answers the question of what were we before we were what we are. A people that believe God. A people that simply believe that God would respond to their call for help. A people that called upon God and saw God work in answer to their call. Now, again, in that same chapter, Cain decided, I don't want to do it God's way. I can live independent of God. I don't need God to help me at all. But at the end of the chapter, we see a people that says, I am dependent upon God. I need His help. I can't get by without His help. And I'm going to believe that He'll do what He says, and I'm going to call upon Him for His help. Today, we've made it a lot more complicated. We have all sorts of tags and labels. We have all sorts of dogma that people try to get us to believe. We have some people that are for this and some people that are for this. We have people that are against this and people that are against that. And sometimes we need just to strip away all the things that we've added and we need to get back to where we started. We need to remember what we were before we were what we are. A people that knew they needed God. A people that believed if they called to God, God would answer and help. The preacher Spurgeon said one time, the best style of prayer is that which cannot be called anything else but a cry. David talks about it in the Psalms. He said in Psalm 17, verse 1, hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. He said in Psalm 28, 2, hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee. He said in Psalm 34, verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. He said in Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Jesus tried to remind us of what we were before we were what we are. When He cast out the money changers in the temple, He said, you've made my house a den of thieves. You've made it, and it's not supposed to be a den of thieves. My house is a house of prayer. My house is a house where people believe that God will listen and that God will help in answer to their cry. I've noticed there's three groups of people who God seems to answer their prayers. The first one is little children. Little 3, 4, 5 year olds that get down on their knees by their bed at the end of the day. They put their chubby little fingers together and they put their head down and they say, "Dear God, bless my daddy, bless my mama, help me." And God hears the prayer of those little children that don't know any better but to believe that God hears when they pray. That don't know any better but to believe that God will do what he says. That don't know any better but to believe that God will hear their cry and answer their cry. The second group of people that I've noticed that God seems to hear and answer their prayers are new Christians. Christians that have just gotten saved and believe that God will do exactly what they do. They pray about everything. They pray about anything. They cry out to God about the smallest things in their life, and they cry out to God about the big things in their life. And God hears and answers. And then the third group of people that I know is that God answers their prayers is Christians that have never gotten over their salvation. That remember how good it is that God saved them. That remember what the wonderful thing that he did when he took all their sins and laid them on his son. And Jesus died on Calvary for their sins. And they've never gotten over it. Now, I've noticed some older Christians that I wouldn't put in that category. They've gotten over their salvation. They forgot what a wonder it was. And when they see these new Christians pray and pray about everything, they sort of fold their hands together and say, "Well, that's nice, but they'll get over it." Hey, I hope you never get over it.
Amen.
I hope you never lose the wonder that God loved you. Don't ever get over it. Don't ever lose the wonder of your salvation. But what were we before we were what we are? We were a people that had a childlike faith, that believed that when we called upon God, when we had a problem, when we had a hurt, when we had a burden, we believed that he would hear us, and we believed that he would help. Now, there's somebody that wants to mess up that. There's somebody that wants to complicate that. That somebody is Satan. He's opposed to the simplicity that Christianity is. He wants to make it more complicated. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. "But I fear," this is the Apostle Paul talking, "but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." I'll remind you this morning that Paul was a tough old bird. He was shipwrecked. He was persecuted. He was beaten. One time he was stoned and left for dead. And he was fearless. He said, "Go ahead, persecute me. Go ahead, beat me. Go ahead, throw me in jail. Go ahead, do whatever you want. I'm still going to preach Jesus Christ. I'm still going to preach his death, his burial, and his resurrection as the only hope that man has." But he said this, "There's one thing I'm afraid of. There's one thing I fear. I fear that Satan is going to corrupt your minds. I fear he's going to, we would say today, that he's going to plant a virus in your mind. And that you are going to turn from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now here's the simplicity that Paul was talking about. God says, "You call on me, I'll answer. You cry out to me, I'll hear that cry. You cry out with a burden. You cry out with a hurt. You cry out with a problem. I'll hear it." and I will help you. And Satan says, that's too simple. Got to be more to it than that. It can't work that way. Nothing works that way. It's got to be more complicated. There's got to be more to it. And as a result, he has corrupted many minds of Christians. And they've forgotten what they were before they were what they are. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I'll tell you this morning, everybody needs to be saved because everybody's a sinner. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We talked about it in Sunday school. We can always find somebody that's a worse sinner than we are. But God says, don't compare yourself to other people. Compare yourself to Jesus Christ. He's the embodiment of my righteousness. And when we compare ourselves to Jesus Christ, we realize how far short we fall of His glory. The Bible says the wages of sin is death because of our sin. We're separated from God. And if we die separated from God, we're going to go to that place called hell. The Bible says that God put all of our sins on His Son and He died in our place. And if we'll call upon Him, if we'll cry out to Him, He'll save us. How simple is that? I mean, it's simple enough that this is the same thing that Adam is preaching to the kids back there. It's not complicated. It's simple. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why can't we go back to what we were before we were what we are? Why can't we just go back to a people that believes God? And when He says, if you cry out to me and ask me, I'll save you. I'll make you part of my family. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. I'll give you a home in heaven. Why can't we go back to being what we were before we were what we are? A people that just believe God. Listen, if you're here this morning, I don't know how to make it any more simple. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. It's not complicated. It's simple. It's simple. God says in the Bible, in the book of Jeremiah, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. God says, I still am a God that will hear your cry. I still am a God that in response to your cry over a problem, over a burden, over a heartache, over something that you need help with, I'll still help you. And I'll do it in a way that you can't imagine. I'll do it in a way that you just don't know. I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't know. And yet we as Christian live our life as if there is no God. We live our life as if there is no God that wants to hear and wants to help. Because we suffer so many things we suffer in our life all by ourselves, and God never intended it for it to be that way. He said, just call. Just cry. I'm a God that hears that cry. I'm a God that hears that call. And in answer to that cry and in answer to that call, I'll show you great and mighty things thou knowest not. Listen, this morning, if you're here and you're not saved, I just would like you to slap Satan up beside the head. He's trying to make it more complicated. It's simple. Just call upon Him. He'll save you. He'll save you. If you're a Christian here this morning and Satan's got it all complicated, he's planted that virus in your mind and you've forgotten what you were before you were what you are, just slap him up beside the head and say, no, 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 it ain't that hard. It's simple. I call on the God and He hears and He answers. Would you do that this morning? That's what God wants. That's what He wants. He wants us to be a people that simply believe that He hears us when we cry and will answer that cry. That's what we were before we were what we are. A people that called upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us of what we were before we were what we are. Help us to go back to being a people that in simplicity believe that you're God. And you hear us when we call. And you'll help us. Father, I pray for those that are here this morning that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They have a sin debt that they owe. They're going to have to pay it themselves unless they come to Jesus Christ. He's already paid what they owed. They'll ask him this morning, he'll save them. And so if there's just one person here that's never called upon the name of the Lord, Father, Holy Spirit, convict them right now. Show them that they need a Savior and that Jesus is that Savior. And then, Father, I know most of us here this morning are Christians. Help us, help us, help us never to lose the wonder of what it was when you saved us. To never lose the simple childlike faith where we believe that if we ask, you would help. Help us to be a people that cry unto you for everything. I pray you bless this time of invitation. Holy Spirit, you speak to our hearts. Again, if there's somebody here that's never received Christ, help them to come. We'll take the Bible, show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. If there's a Christian here that you've talked to about something, maybe it's for baptism, maybe it's about joining the church, maybe it's to rededicate their life, I pray, Father, that we'd hear and we'd be obedient. So bless this time. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.